not a storm cloud in sight. But then suddenly, without warning, storms surrounded my life. But even in the storm, I know him by name. There's never been another man with the power of this friend. By simply saying peace, be still, he can calm the strongest waves. That's why I never worry, though the storm I know him by name.
Thank you. In stereo. Beautiful. Let's all stand as we change over the service. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. You see. I lift it up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. I lift it up, shining.
I'm not going to sing. Well, but good to be back home, and we had a good time. Got to go fellowship with Brother Jack Duff's church Sunday, and Brother Jack asked me to get up and greet the people, so I got up and told him. I said, well, Brother Dale's always said, blessed is the preacher who can get up and testify and not preach. So that's what I did. But we had a really good time and treated us really well. And I have a wonderful group of people down there. And got to see Brother Smiley and the different ones. And I got to tell a little story. Brother Jack told him before I got there, he said, Brother Aaron will know your names. And he said, don't be surprised if he walks up and calls you by your name. He said he watches, because I've watched the videos, and when you get up to sing, they put your name on the screen. And then when they put all the birthdays up, they put everybody's name up at birthdays. So after a while, you get kind of learn people's names and faces and everything. So it's not like you got discernment. It's just over time, you just kind of pick these things up. But wonderful, and we had a really good time, and got to fellowship with them some, and we got to go see the property that when Brother Jack was here, he was talking about the church property that they're trying to buy and they're believing in. They took us by it. We got to see it. And we were standing in the parking lot. And he said, Brother Aaron, this is what we're believing in for by faith. And we're believing for this. And I told Brother Jack, I said, well, Brother, I'm going to do everything in my power to be here for the dedication. So you just believe with them. So, amen. Brother Jack asked us just to continue to pray for that situation and believe. I said, well, Brother, I'll certainly mention that to the church. So, because God's mindful of all things, and He's got it all in control. Whether sometimes we don't see it that way, sometimes it's hard waiting. But, you know, the greater the battle, the sweeter the victory. Amen. So, if you have your Bibles tonight, we go to Mark chapter 4 and begin at verse 35. And just going to take a little thought this afternoon. And also want to remember and mention Levi, I know y'all try to wrap your mind around this. Levi graduates a week from Friday. So May the 19th, he's graduating from high school. You wonder where all the time went. So anyway, you're all invited. It's going to be at the Memorial Stadium there in Jefferson. And it starts at 8 o'clock. So if you'd like to go, you're more than welcome to go. It's open to the public. So I just wanted to mention that to everybody. I still try to think about that. But, you know, they grow up on you. And then all of a sudden you got to figure out what you're going to do. And the main thing is not try to figure these things out on your own, but trust God. Let God lead you. And so y'all just continue to pray for him, pray for us. But I thank the Lord for him, and he's grown up to be a fine young man. Amen. So I know there's many other ones that will be graduating. I know Josiah graduated, and appreciate the Lord for that. And I just continue to remember all of them. I know there's many others that will be graduating, bless them and watch over them. Amen. I know we got many needs tonight. We're just going to look to the Lord before we read the Scripture. And so let's all bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again tonight, Lord. We gather in your name, Lord, in your house. Father, you said where two or three are gathered in the midst of them, Lord. So we gather in your name here, Lord Jesus, because that's the only way that we can gather in you. Because if we just gather as a group, Lord, then it has no meaning. It has no reverence, Lord. But we gather to fellowship with you, Lord, to look to you for what we have need of, to allow you to have the preeminence, Lord. And Father, we just pray that you just come and anoint each one. And Lord, just come and have your will and way with us in this service. Take these words, Father, and just speak to our hearts. Lord, the words of life, Lord, that we need. And Lord, all the ones that are not here, the ones that are the watching in, Lord, whatever the needs may be, you know all the needs, whatever request is, or whatever desire is. And so, Father, we just commit it all to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, that we know that you'll just come on the scene, and whatever the need is, Lord, you're the answer to it. And so we just commit it to you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters all around the world, Lord, that we're able to fellowship with just a little portion of them here. But Father, what a great day that's going to be when, Lord, all this drops behind us. And Father, we enter into a realm of eternity, Lord, that we can fellowship with one another. And Lord, there will never be any parting there. Father, for all the ones that have gone on, Lord, we know that it's a reality. One of these days, Father, we're going to see them in this dimension again. Lord, not in the old bodies, not crippled, Lord, not sick and weak, Lord, but they're going to raise in the newness of life. Father, they're going to be young and eternal, vibrant. What a wonderful thing that we can look to, Lord. Lord, we just look for that day. Father, just help us get ourselves ready. Lord, let us be what you'd have us be. And Lord, we just pray for your fivefold ministry, Lord, the brothers that are around the world that minister, Lord, faithfully. Lord, we just continue to hold them up, Lord. Just bless them in a special way. Lord, we commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 says, in the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? And how is that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. God bless you tonight. You can have your seats. And so tonight I want to take this little thought on Jesus said there. He said, let us pass over. And so that's what I want to speak on tonight. Let us pass over. You know, Brother Branham says here, and he's speaking in the message, calling Jesus on the scene. You know, Brother Branham's talking about, he said, now we find him, knowing that he had a great job ahead of him the next day, that he was going into Gadara. In Gadara, there was a maniac, a man who had lost his mind, and he was there living amongst the devils, cutting himself, a poor man who could not call for his own help. And now we find that he is on his road over there, and I believe he knew all about it. The Father had sent him over there, and he knew it. And now tired and weary, he goes back and takes this opportunity for a little rest while the ship is crossing the sea. Great day. It'll be about this time of the evening or a little later. They're crossing the sea. Now, while Jesus went back to the hinder part, back in the stern of the ship, probably went into a little room back there and laid down on a pillow. And while they were resting, the disciples, they thought, now our day's journey is over. Our work for him. Now we take up our own task. And he said, let's just start pulling the boat. So that's the kind, you know, the story there where Brother Ram's talking about. You know, Jesus comes and, you know, it's interesting when you read this, that, you know, after all of the miracles and all the work that Jesus had done and all the things that the disciples had seen Jesus do all this time that he had went with them. And he said the Father had showed him what was taking place because he was going to Gadara. And here he is, and he gets in this boat. And you know, he tells the disciples, he said, let's go over. Let's cross over. We're going to go over to the other side. Well, the disciples didn't know what was taking place. But you know, there's one thing about, Brother Ram said about Jesus. Jesus was a master of all his circumstances. He had perfect faith. And being a man of perfect faith, you know what? All things was in his hands, and all things, when the Father had showed him all these things, he didn't have any worries. He didn't have any cares. Why? Because he was doing the Father's will. And it didn't hold him back. And it's so an amazing thing that when he got in that boat, if he knew that the powers of the devil were coming against him and they were going to attack and stir up the sea and all these things, well, you know what? It didn't bother him. Here's a you know, it's such an amazing thing. He went on there, picked up his pillow, went in the back of the boat and laid down. It's an amazing thing when you think about how he just went back there and laid down. And the other thing that I think is so amazing when I was reading this passage, what stands out to me was, you know, in the midst of all this storm and everything, it is filling up with water. And somehow, you know, how in the world was Jesus laying in the back of this boat asleep and all that water where it filled up the boat? And you know, you remember the old, if you ever seen the old movies of the ships that were, you know, everything slides to one side of the boat and slides to the other side of the boat. And Jesus sitting there sleeping. And you know, here they are, they go through all these things that are taking place. But you know, Jesus wasn't worried about any of those things. He didn't have any stress on him. He didn't have any worries. He didn't have any doubt about what was going to take place. Why? Because if the Father had seen him, that he was going to heal the maniac, if he was going to deliver the maniac of Gadara, then you know what? Crossing that water had no problems. There was not anything that was going to stop him because he had seen where he was going, and he knew what his commission was. He knew what he had seen the Father do. And so then when the Father had given him this commission to do what the Father had shown him that was going to take place, when he went out there to do that, then you know what? All the other portions of this, everything else was peripheral because that's not part of what God had for him. Because you know what? If God has called you to a place and he's called you to do something, then you know what? No matter how many devils in hell come against you to stop you, you know what? You're still going to do what God has called you to do. Because you know, the only thing that stops us is us. We stop ourselves. Because if we will sit and listen to what the devil has to say, then that's what hinders us. But it doesn't hinder us if we follow what God has said. Now, it may slow us down. We may have to take a different route or whatever, but you know what? We still go the same way. Amen. We still overcome.
Amen.
So here, when we see how they're riding on riding this boat, and here they are, and Brother Brown continues on, and he said, "Now, then we see those things and have them thoroughly examined, identified certainly." He said, "Then why do we get scared when trouble comes in?" And so he continues on. He says, "Now, look now, we got troubles that we can't remedy." He said, because he was speaking of the disciples, he said, well, they tried their sails and the wind was too hard. It blew them off. They tried their oars and the waves were so great it broke the oars. Then they got in their little ship, so let it drive. It was let drive. They probably tied the keel down and the rudder. And when they did, they just let it drive just any way it would go, and it dashing and splashing. He said, you have to ride a wave in a boat. He said, you fellas in a boat that ride a boat, you know, you just can't face right into a wind like that, right into the wave. If you do, you'll pitch your boat right up at the bottom. So you've got to guide that boat, let it roll with the wave. As the waves roll, you roll right in and out with it. When you, if you don't, you'll fill your boat full of water. So here they are in this great storm that comes up, and they're trying to handle it in themselves. They're trying to do what they can do. And here they are in this massive storm, and here's all this water, and they're trying to fight and trying to manage this boat and trying to control it. And all of a sudden they realize, you know what, I have no control over this. Everything that I have is useless. Because, you know, Brother Ram talked about Peter and them. You know, they were fishermen. They grew up on the sea. So they weren't rookies. They weren't novices. They knew they were, you know, very experienced men. And here they are in a storm, and everything that they've done is worthless. It has no power. They have no control over this. And here they are in this boat going up and down in the water. And it's starting to fill up with water. And then after all these things, he said, well, after everything had broke and they couldn't hold on no more, then they just let it drive. And then when they did, the boat filled up. And he said it looked like all hopes was gone. And there they was, all troubled and scared. He said, what a time it was. It was a trouble that they could not remedy anymore. Then fear set in when they found out they couldn't remedy it. And he said, we've hit likewise trouble. We hit trouble. He said, we've got national troubles that our nation can't remedy. So we live in a nation just like them. So this situation that they were in, when they got to the place that they realized they were not in control anymore. They had no control over it. There's nothing that they can do to control this situation. They can't help this situation because everything that they've done has failed. And here they are in this. And so they think they lost all hope. And they don't have nothing. There's no way that they can overcome this situation. Here they are in this. And they're like, well, you know, how are we going to handle this? And, you know, and Brother Brown is talking about here, you know, and he begins to talk about the condition that the nation is in. And he said, you know, we can't control the things that takes place out here. Why? Because we realize that the nation is under a curse of God, and it's in the plan of God, and it's going the way that God has for it, and there's nothing you can do about it. Because, you know, but we know there is a way out. There is a way that of escape that's made for us. Why? Because that is not our future. That is not what's been determined for us, but we have a goal to get out of here. There is a way of escape made.
Because when all of the world is trying to hold on and trying to shore up what they can, there's only one thing that you can do is make sure that you're sure on the Rock of Ages. Because if you're not holding on to Him, because, you know, as Brother Branham said, Brother Branham, did you hold on to your religion when all the troubles and trials in your life, when you lost your wife and you lost your child and everything else fell apart? He's like, no, it held me. So the thing is when we get into Christ, Christ gets into us, then you know what? Then He's holding us. Because, you know, I can't hold on, but praise God, He held on. He said God didn't look to see if I held on. He said He looks to see if Christ held on. He said He was the one that was examined. And if he was the sacrifice, if He was the lamb that was examined, and if He makes the mark, if He is the one that satisfies the conditions, then, you know, I don't have to worry about it. Because He's the one that met the conditions that he fulfilled the requirements of God. When, you know, in the scripture there, when Jesus said, "It is finished," hanging on the cross, when He said, "It is finished," you know, there's three, that the word in the Greek there means three things. When you say "it is finished," what Jesus said, it means there's three things that it means. Number one, it means the end of a battle. It means the victory of a battle. Number two, it means a debt is paid in full. And number three, it means that a judgment is settled in court. When Jesus said, so the word in Greek, when Jesus said "it is finished," He is identifying that he was the victory, because He got the victory. The case that was against us was settled. And the debt that we owed was paid. So when He said "it's finished," then you know what? Then all we have to do is accept that. Because the pardon has been given to us, but all we've got to do is accept the pardon that's been given to us. So tonight, you know, we're the recipients of that. Why? Because as the scripture says, we've been made more than conquerors through Him. Why? Because He's the one that overcame. He was the conqueror, and He allowed us to step into that. So then He made the way, and all we're doing is going in the way that He's made. Then all I've got to do is follow Him. Then it makes me an overcomer. But so when we stand in these things, we realize there's things that we can't remedy. There's troubles that we have. But praise God, we know the answer. Amen. We know the one who's got the answer. We know the one that's going to make the way. Amen. And praise God that we, as Brother Ernie Villanueva used to say all the time, we've got tomorrow's headlines today. We already know what's going to take place. We've already got a place to stand on the Rock of Ages. We can hide in the cleft of the rock, and we can be safe and secure where we stand. He says that troubles we can't remedy. He said the thing is sin, unbelief, and evil. He said it's just weeded into us, growed around us, wrapped the whole nation in it. See, all of these troubles, the way things are going today, you know, anything that's good is called bad. Everything that's bad is good. And anytime you have a moral stand, don't try to have any kind of moral stand about you. And people come up, why do you believe the way that you do? Why do you believe that? Well, you know what? You know, God is just love. And God is love, and you know what? We just love everybody and just do whatever we want to, because you know what? There's no repercussions. I was like, what kind of world do you live in? Okay. Well, it's like, well, I want you to climb under a ladder, and I'm going to take a 5-pound hammer, and I'm going to stand on top of the ladder. I'm going to drop it, and we'll see what happens. Well, there's a law called gravity. And if you stand right there, that 5 pounds is going to be on the top of your head. Well, you can't just wish that away. Well, that don't exist. Well, you know what? It's still going to work every single time. Amen. And so if you go out and, you know, you get out. I was thinking about Brother Kern cutting the hedge a week or so ago, you know, and then, you know, he was, if y'all saw his finger, you know, if you're not on a firm foundation, when things get a little wobbly, next thing you know, you get cut. And all the, you know, all the things that take place. You know, if you go flying down the road, hey, listen, you get in your vehicle and go down the road just as fast as you can. And one of Georgia's finest along the way is going to catch you. But, you know, it's like, well, there's no consequences. Well, yes, there is. Don't pay your taxes and see what happens. Somewhere along the way, somebody's going to come and want to talk to you. Why? Because there's rules. There's laws. And so, and just like, and God has rules and God has laws that He has set in place. And you know what? You're not going to get away and get by with those things. God has a way that's set. I was talking to a man the other day, and we were talking about the scriptures, and so we were discussing about our church, and you know, sometimes when you tell our church name is Spoken Word Church, people think that's odd. You know, it's like, I told him, I said, well, listen, I said, do you know where that comes from? I said, you tell me someplace. I said, when Jesus spoke, He said, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed. I said, in Genesis 1, God spoke and said, let there be, and creation took place. And salvation is made by confessing your faults and your sins. When you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. I said, when God spoke to all the prophets in the Old Testament, He told them, speak, son of man. I said, God never chose the Son to preach the gospel. He said He never spoke. He never caused the wind or the waves or anything else to create, you know, to worship the Lord, to preach the gospel. None of that ever come through any other way. I said, man was given that. We were made in the image of God, and God wants us to speak. And so, because the only way that you're ever going to know God is through a human, because God is in us to make Himself known to the world. He said, because He said, we are the light of the world. And so, you know what? It's not just getting out and trying to speak it, but your life ought to manifest that. That when people see that something comes out of your mouth, it speaks to them. And they're like, this is something different. I said, all of the Bible is based on speaking. I said, because it was the spoken word. I said, when Jesus stood there one day and He spoke to a tree, and He said, because it had leaves on it, but it had no figs on it, because when it was supposed to have figs, it didn't. So it was just a make-believer. See, it was just putting on. It was just acting, because it should have had figs, but it didn't. And when Jesus saw that, He said, let no man eat of you ever again. And the thing dried up. And the next time Peter saw that tree, he's like, Lord, look, the tree's dried up. Why? Because Jesus believed in what He had to say, and when He spoke to the tree, it obeyed Him. Amen. And I said, it's the same way with you and I. I said, why is it that when people come in this plant, you see people come through the door? I said, some people, they hate being here, and every time you try to talk to them, they look like they've been eating a bunch of green persimmons when they come through the door, and you hate to even be around them. I said, what do you see me do? I said, when I get here, what do I do? Most of the time when I get up there, if I'm the one holding the door, I let everybody else in, and everybody that passes me, good morning, how y'all doing? How you doing? Good morning. And I speak to everybody. Why? Because you know what? That's what creates a good day. Because you know what? You create the atmosphere that you live in. Now, you can be upset and just blow up like a bullfrog eating buckshot and all that, but you know what? Or you can create the atmosphere that you live in. You can't control the environment that you live in, but you can create the atmosphere. And I was like, you know what? I want people to see Jesus Christ in me. I want to see that there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, even when things get upset, you know, sometimes we have to walk off and, you know, we gotta pray through sometimes, because you know what? Things get under our skin. But you know what? There's still a time that, you know what? Because because of that, because God is an overcomer and He's inside of us, that we can overcome these things. Yeah. You know, I want people to see that God is real, that God is still alive, and that He's still molding a group of people into His image, in His character. Because the world can see all kinds of fakes, and they can see all kinds of unbelievers, and they can see all kinds. But I want the world to see Jesus Christ. He said, we tried to introduce the Word. Christ tried to bring the Word, tried to bring it back by showing Himself, the resurrection, for 2,000 years. He is still the same. They turned their back upon it, walked away. They're unbelievers. He said, make believers still hang on to find a fault with it just as much as they can, on and on. But what is it? It's the same thing repeating again. So when He's talking about the way it was back then, He said there was three kinds of believers. They were the make-believers, the unbelievers, but there was a real group of believers, a genuine believers that actually believed in that. And you know what? When I read that, it's like, Lord, you know, because some people, you know, unbelievers, they're not ever going to believe, and it doesn't matter what you do, whatever you say, whatever you show them, they're never going to believe that. And you can't change them no matter what. Because God's tried to change them and He couldn't. So you're not going to do it. But that's what struck me when He said, make believers still hang on to find a fault with it. And it's what struck me. You know, here's make believers. Well, I'm still hanging. I'm around. But what was it? There was a mixed multitude that was with Israel. And you know what? They didn't have any good thing to say about anything. And you know, it's amazing. If you're a real genuine, true believer and you actually believe that this is what God has sent us to do and this is the workings of the Holy Spirit, and it's like you can't find anything good to say, and all you can do is find fault, then you know what? That's not the Holy Spirit speaking. Because you know what? When everything goes wrong, whenever there's problems, you know what? That is part of the life. That's part of, as Brother Bram said, that's life's grab bag. You're going to have all these issues and problems and everything. But you know what? Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. So if we have all these problems, then Lord, let us not just find fault with it. I know there's problems, and we've all got problems, and there's always problems. But Lord, let us find something to be thankful for. You know, I was speaking to that man I was telling you about when we was talking about the Word, and I was telling him, I was like, well, you know, I was like, when you're raising children, I said, when you get out there, I said, the one thing you don't do, I said, and you're a coach, you coach the man coaches basketball. I said, when you get out there, I said, how well do you think your team's going to perform? All you can do is find fault with everything they do. If you pull them on the sideline, you didn't do this right, you didn't do that, this and that. But what do you got to do? You got to reinforce the things that are correct. Yeah. When you raise children, what do you got to do? You got to tell them, listen, you're doing good. Now, well, you got to correct the things that are wrong, but you know what? You got to correct them, but you want them to understand this is the reason why we do this. Amen. But you want to praise them when they're doing good. Yeah. You want to encourage them. How many times has the Lord spoke to you and give you a word of encouragement? Even in the midst of sicknesses or heartaches or problems or whatever, and the Lord comes and brings you a word of comfort, a word of encouragement. And it might have been just one word that He speaks, but you know what? It'll change your whole life. Just by that one little minute. And it's the same way. It's by you speaking to your children. And if you encourage them to go that way, then you know what? They'll get better. If you have a team and you encourage them, you know what? They get better. Because you know what? If you don't think they are ever do anything right, or, you know, then what do they want to do? They don't want to continue. He's like, well, it's time to give up. But God don't want us to give up. He wants us to keep going. Amen. Just a little while, a little longer, just a little while to stay here. Just a little bit longer, and then we can leave. Amen. It won't be much longer. Just hold on. Amen. He said, in the midst of idolatry, in the midst of worldlyism, in the midst of all kinds of confusions and mix-up, we still have him in the ship. So he's still in all this. He's still in the ship with us. He said, no wonder David screamed out, I'll feel no evil, for you're in the ship. Amen. Oh, how they could see this so much that they had seen, was not able to express it all, of what they had seen. He said, now it dawned on them that he was laying right close to them. And it says, now he is a lot closer to you than he was then. Is that right? So, in the midst of all these problems and everything, as they were in this ship, and they were looking at this storm and how great it was, and all the problems and everything that they were facing. And you know, after they had tried everything and they had lost almost all their hope, and you know, they had no other way to turn, then all of a sudden they realized, oh, you know what? Jesus is on the boat. Here's Jesus. And Brother Bram's talking about in all the midst of all this, he said, it dawned on them, but he said, you know what? For y'all to understand, for us to understand, you know, he's closer tonight to us than he was to them. Why? Because he's taking up residence in us. So he is, and then he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you, even in you, unto the end of the world. So if he's here, then guess what? In the midst of all the chaos and the confusion and all the worldlyism and all the things that are happening all around us, praise God, we've got a way to go. We know which way to go because we've got an anchor that's steadfast and sure that's going to lead us the way. I'm so glad that we have a place to stand and we don't have to worry about these things. God's leading us. See, if we understand, in the midst of all the things that have taken place, see, and all these things that have come against us, God is still real. He said, I'm with you now and I will be with you. He said, a little while in the world will see me no more, yet ye shall see me. What? Because on the day of Pentecost, when they stood there and they saw Jesus walking and speaking, they didn't understand everything that Jesus said. There was a lot of things they didn't understand. But what did they say? What did Peter say? Lord, to whom shall we go? Well, there's no other place to go, Lord. We don't understand these things, but we know that you have the words of eternal life and there's no other place to go. And he began to encourage the disciples. And he told Peter, he said, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. See, Satan's coming against you. He said, but I've prayed for you. And he kept encouraging Peter. He said, listen, he said, when you're converted, he said, strengthen the brethren. Why? Because he knew that through the battles, through the heartaches and all the things that Peter would go through, then he would be a testimony. He would be able to witness to the things that God had done. And he could go out there and tell the brothers, listen, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't worry about all these things because God is a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. And he's leading us on and he's going to take you all the way. Yeah. When Peter could stand there and tell the early church, and he, you know, when he could give his testimony and say, listen, I walked with him. I slept with him. I ate with him. I seen all these miracles. And you know what? I turned my back on him. But you know what? Praise God, he didn't turn his back on me. And you know, when he began to talk, when Peter began to tell about his testimony, when he began to talk about the things that he had witnessed in his life and understanding the grace of Jesus Christ and what God meant to him, because what had God had done for him, where he had come from and where he come to, he's like, listen, y'all can come the same way. When Paul could stand there and talk about being complicit in the murder of Christians, when his brothers and sisters that had died, and you know what, he had their blood on his hands because he was complicit in that act, and he could stand there and tell them, but you know what, he said, but the grace of God covers us. And so what, brothers and sisters, if you can believe that the grace of God will cover you too, the grace of God covers all of us. And you know what, if we fall down, praise God, because there's a way to get back up and come back into fellowship, in divine fellowship with God, that we can continue on. God didn't make us quitters. God didn't quit on you. So let's don't quit on him and say, Lord, I can't make it. Well, praise God, because in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. Yeah. We've got perfect strength when we realize we can't do it ourselves. When we come to the place to realize, just as they did, you know what? We've got Jesus on our ship. And if we can just turn to Him and say, Lord, this is what we have need of. Lord, do You care not that we perish? Well, you know what? He wasn't worried about it. Why? Because He was the God of creation. And He was standing there, and He was not worried about it. He said, I think it's time when troubles come on that we say to those disciples, like those disciples who must have said, let's go wake Him. Let's go call Him. Let's call Him on the scene. He said, oh, my beloved brother, my beloved sister, I love you. And remember, I'm telling you the truth. If you've got trouble tonight, He's right at hand. He is called. He can be called on the scene just by just a move of your lips. See, that's what I was when I was talking to that man about speaking. See, if we just speak it, He'll come on the scene. He's wanting us to make that invitation. He will come on the scene, amen. Call Jesus on the scene. Wake Jesus. For we have Him with us. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So He is wanting us to come in because He desires to have fellowship with us. So He's there and He's closer than He was back then. Then what is it? Then it's us. If we will have fellowship with Him, He desires us to have fellowship. Amen. You know, as Brother Bosworth told Brother Branham, said, well, you know, what is fellowship? It's two fellows in one ship. When He's on the ship with you and everything else is going wrong, then you know what? He wants you to have fellowship with Him and tell Him, Lord, I can't get through this. Do you see what's going on? Amen. But you know, He wasn't worried about what was going on. Because in the midst of that storm, He just got up out of that little room off the bed. And you know what? And here's this great massive storm and the boat's pitching every different direction. But you know, He just walked calmly to the front of that boat. And of all that pitching and everything going on, He just kept going, walked right up there. And put His foot on the front of that boat and said, peace be still. That's all He said. He didn't get down and pray, and he wasn't in all this kind of thing. You know, He just spoke to the storm. And it ceased. In the midst of all that, you know, then he turned to the disciples and told them, he said, now listen, he said, in the midst of all this, and you've seen all, because here he is, he's trying to get them to understand, they've seen all the miracles that has taken place. All the, you know, the dead's been raised, the feeding of the thousands or whatever, all the miracles that's taken place. He knows the secrets of people's hearts, all the things that Jesus has done, and He's speaking to them, and you know, all the things that they've seen up to then, and then it's like, why are you so fearful? And you have no faith. Because you've come all this way and you've seen all these things. But you identify me as the one that was back there with Moses. It's like, Peter, your dad, Peter and Andrew, y'all's dad was talking about the great Jehovah of the Old Testament. And you know, you've heard the scrolls read and the prophets and all those things that you've read all your life, and you've heard all the miracles that God done. And you identify me as that. And so here I am in flesh. I'm the one that's in flesh that was spoken of back there. Because that's who you identify me as. The Messiah. The Word made flesh. You said you believe what Isaiah said, Jeremiah, Moses, Joshua, David. Well, if I'm the fulfillment of that, I'm standing in your midst, why are you not believing this? Oh man, if I was down there around the walls of Jericho, I would have just been marching knowing there was a great victory coming. Well, you know what? There was a great victory in front of them. They didn't They went up there rejoicing. They didn't rejoice in the fact that they were about ready. It looked like that boat was about ready to go in the sea. Well, you know what? We believe David, that Daniel, he was a man of God. He was a prophet of God. He had the word of God. And you know what? He went in that lion's den, and he was there facing those hungry lions. But you know what? The angel of the Lord was there with him. And you know what? The Lord brought him out. Well, if the Lord brought him out, then why is it that the same God that was back there is the same God that stands before us, and we don't have faith in what he believed, in what he said? We don't believe what he said. Just like, well, if that's the same, then he's the same, because the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if that was true back there, then it's true right here. And here he is speaking to him. He said, why is it that y'all are so fearful and have no faith to believe because of the things you've seen, the things that you've read? If you begin to identify this ministry as the fulfillment of the Old Testament, of the law, of the prophecies, then how is it you can't believe what's taking place when it stands in your midst? And if you can believe this, it's like, wow, what manner of man is this that even the winds and sea obey him? Why? Because there's, you know, because when, you know, Brother Ram says, you know, God wants us to believe for big things. And you know, sometimes when it's small things, you know what? We got faith. Hey, we can believe that. But you know what? When things get a little bit tougher and the things get a little bit bigger, then you know what? Our faith is being tried. But sometimes our faith begins to waver on the bigger things. And when it becomes even bigger trials, then I want to believe, but it's harder to believe. Because, you know, but God wants us to believe in the big things. He wants to ask for the big things. He wants to ask for great things. It's like, well, I don't know. No, God wants you to try him. Because you know what? He tries you. He brings things along your path, and he wants to see if you believe him. What you're going to do. Is that what he said about coming up the stature? You're coming up to certain things in your life, and you know he's going to try you to see where you stand. Why? Because that's how you grow. That's child rearing, bringing you up. Well, do you have confidence in what God will do? It's like, well, I don't see a way out. Well, praise God, you ain't found the waymaker. Here is the waymaker. It's like, well, if we could just come to the place to realize that he's here and he wants to make a way for you. He wants to show you there's a way out. There's a way of deliverance. Whatever you ask for, he's there to meet your need. Now, the problem is sometimes when we get to that place, it's like, well, you know, we want God to do it the way we want it done. And we want it done when we want it done. And the problem is God's not going to do that. God's going to do it his own time. And praise God, you know, there's been times in my life, you know, I'm glad that God didn't answer my prayers. Because you know what? I found out, you know what? I had it all miscalculated. Because God knew more about it than I did. And it's like, well, Lord, I'm just going to trust you because I realize that I'm inadequate in this situation. But you know what? He's got it all in control. Brother Brown says, I wonder today, brother, he said, if we're failing to recognize yet among us the Holy Spirit. He said, I wonder if the people in our attitude today, if we don't fail to recognize that this is the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is among us. Brother Bram says, if we could only realize that he is here with us the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, lo, I am with you always. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you to the end of the world. He's at 24th chapter. He said, I'll never leave you. Again, he said, oh, again, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I was just looking at the scripture I had wrote down here concerning it. He said, how can we be sure? By his proven word. He is now waiting for you to call him on the scene to be proved. So let us go and wake Jesus in our lives. He said, how do you wake Christ? By believing his word. Faith brings him on the scene. That's what brings him on the scene, faith. Then call him. And call on him to confirm his word. And don't doubt and fear. Don't do that. Just believe him as it is written. And let it be done. And God will prove to you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, we worship an invisible God. Amen. If we can believe what God has said, he's here. And all that he said is yours. He said, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Whatever you, he said he would not withhold any good thing to those that walk uprightly. And you know, and you say, well Brother Aaron, I got this problem, I got that problem. Well, guess what? God's made a way. He has a provision for you to come back into divine fellowship. If you're not in fellowship with God, then we know who's out of position. But you know what? He's made a way, and he's here for you to call on him and say, Lord, I want to come back in fellowship. Lord, I don't want to be cold in the spirit. Lord, I don't want to be bound by these same things. There are certain situations in my life that I can't advance beyond this point. And Lord, I'm just like the disciples on that ship getting kicked around. And I can't stay where I'm at. I have no control over this situation. But you know what? He's on the scene for you to call on. And if you will call on him, he'll come on the scene. And he will, whatever has to be done, they say, Lord, I'm just going to turn it over to you. And you know what? He's on the scene to work miracles, to change lives, to deliver, to fill with the Holy Spirit, whatever you have need of. Healing in your body. There ain't no big things and little things in God. It's all the same. Why? Because when he died and he made a provision, he covered all sin. He healed all sicknesses. He healed all diseases. Why? When he took the keys from Satan and he took over the whole kingdom, then you know what? There's not a single one of them down there that's got any kind of power that because it's permitted of God. God allows them. And so you know what? There's nothing out of cater with God. And if you and I can just put our trust in him, and as Jesus said, let us pass over and go to the other side. Because that's our desire to get out of here. Because there's a better land waiting than where we're at tonight. And that's my desire. Well, God bless you. Let's all stand. We'll have the musicians come. I'm gonna try to sing a song. I don't know if anybody knows it, but I'm gonna try to sing. When Moses led Israel, he led them through the Red Sea. The Lord said, "Have courage and leave it to me. I will not forsake you. I will hold to your hand. And I'll help you cross over to Canaan's fair land. Because there's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. All evil surrenders to the master's command. Just trust in Jehovah and let him hold to your hand. And he'll help you cross over to Canaan's fair land. In this life before us, many trials we face. We're tested and tempted to give up the race. Then I hear Jesus whisper, let me hold to your hand. and I'll help you cross over to Canaan's fair land. 'Cause there's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. All evil surrenders to the master's command. Just trust in Jehovah. Let him hold to your hand. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. Amen. There's a way to cross over, and it's made. Praise the Lord. Amen, Brother Boyd. Let's sing a song. Amen. If you have a need this evening, the altar's open. If you just want to pray right where you're at, you're able to do that too. Amen. Amen. The world's not my home.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. All expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus many years ago. I know he'll see me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in a glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, brother. Amen. Before we go this evening, Brother Wade, you got anything to say? Saturday night, 5 o'clock, prayer meeting, and question and answers, 6 o'clock. And one service Sunday. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. God bless each one of you tonight. All hearts and minds clear tonight. Amen. Well, let's just all bow our heads and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that for this time, Lord Jesus, to gather with you, with your saints, Lord Jesus, our brothers and sisters, Lord. And we're just so thankful, Lord, that God, you come on the scene, and Lord, in our weakest times, Lord, in our hardest times, Father. Lord, as the man had the dream there, he was walking across the sand, and he said he only saw one set of footprints. He's like, Lord, in the hardest times, Lord, in the lowest valleys, Lord, he said, I only see one set of footprints. And Lord, you said, well, son, that's when I carried you. Amen. Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, that there's a way to cross over, Lord. There's a way made for us. And we just want to trust you, Lord, in all things. Lord, draw us closer to you. Lord, let us, as the prophet said, that he said, we've been invited to be molded into the image of God. And Lord, we want to accept that invitation. Lord, you just come on the scene, Lord. Help us, Lord, to get out of your way, Lord, that you can do the work. Lord, we just pray for each one, Father, as they leave tonight and go home. We just pray that you give them traveling mercies. Bless the rest of the week. Lord, those that are working, and Lord, whatever the case may be, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you'll be with them. Bless the weekend services, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you just watch over and keep us, bring us back on Saturday, Lord. Lord, for the prayer service, and Lord, for the questions and answers, Lord. And we just pray that you bless the service, Lord. Bless our ministry here, Lord, the brothers. We just pray that, Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, for the ministry that's here, Lord, that we're able to, Lord, to sit under and fellowship around, Lord. Father, it's feeding our souls, Lord. It's a blessing to us. And Lord, I just continue to pray, Lord, that you just bless each one of the brothers, Lord, and just continue to minister in a special way to them. And Lord, we just pray that everyone that's here, Lord, we're all in this together. We're all standing shoulder to shoulder battling this, Lord Jesus. Lord, we can't overcome by ourselves, Lord. We're a body. And Lord, it's only as strong as the weakest link, Lord, and we all have to be gathered together, Lord, shore up. And Lord, let us be that. And Lord, we just want to say that we love you tonight, Lord. Lord, we just commit all things to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you tonight. You're dismissed.
They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus many times.